1, verses 8 to 18. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Elaine. Let's pray together. Father, would you give us afresh a boldness as individuals in a church family as we think about the amazing good news we have in Jesus' name. Amen. As we started our journey through 2 Timothy last week, we saw Paul the Apostle was in chains in prison, but he was confident of the gospel. He is at near the end of his life, at the end of his ministry, handing over to Timothy, who is not so sure, not so wishing to put himself forward, but called by God to follow in Paul's footsteps. Timothy, like many of us, had some concerns about speaking of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if I asked you what you were ashamed of, what would come to your mind? The truth is, for most of us, there are some things that we are quite glad other people don't know. We may even, our closest friends may not know some of the things that embarrass us the most. There are things that we are ashamed of. And if you think there's going to be a public confession from me now, you'll be sadly disappointed. But we do know that feeling, that there are things that we're slightly ashamed of. Paul is concerned that Timothy might be ashamed of both the gospel and gospel ministry. Now the question is, why would that be? We'll come on to that in a moment. But the truth is that as we think about speaking of Jesus, some of us, maybe most of us, think, go, that's just so difficult. And Paul today is going to address that temptation. The first thing he says, we can be ashamed of the gospel message. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Now that shame can take an very obvious form, that when challenged we don't want to talk about what we believe. We're sometimes happy to talk about all sorts of other things, but when it gets to our faith, we feel a little more uncomfortable. The truth is that there are things that we sometimes find it hard to talk about, and our faith in Jesus is sometimes one of those things. That's what Paul realizes about Timothy. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony our Lord." Why does he have to say that? Because he recognizes that Timothy faces the temptation of being ashamed of the gospel message. We'll see in a moment why that is. But let us all agree that it's a temptation we all face. And I know the danger is you sit there and think, "Oh, it's so easy for you, Anthony. You're the vicar. Everybody expects you to talk about Jesus." And there is an element of truth about that. But not in my family. Not with my neighbours, where I am not the vicar, I'm Anthony. They don't think of me in this role. They think of me as whatever I am to them, a neighbour or a family member. It is it not, sometimes challenging when we think, how do I speak of Jesus? And Paul recognizes that danger. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Don't be ashamed of what you know about him. And that shame comes for a whole load of reasons, doesn't it? Because we're afraid what others will think about us. Will we always have the right answer? Paul encourages us not to be ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. But he also encourages us not to be ashamed of gospel ministries either. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Now, you do not have to read the New Testament very much to realize that Paul was not always popular. Jews and Romans persecuted him, false teachers ridiculed him, even Christian teachers mocked him. And here he is in prison in chains. It's hardly attractive to say, "Well, I'm with Paul," when Paul's in prison in chains. You wouldn't want to necessarily associate with him. And Paul knows that Timothy is tempted to be embarrassed. And we can sometimes be embarrassed by Christian ministries. Those who are good gospel people. But you don't do it the way that we would do it. We can even be embarrassed by perhaps something that happens in church. It's not the way I would have done it. You see, here is the challenge to us. Are we ashamed of the gospel and of gospel ministries? That's the challenge. You might think, why would we ever be ashamed of it? Well, Paul in Romans says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," and he has to say that because he knows others are. So we wouldn't want to say we're ashamed of it, but maybe the way we act and the way we don't speak gives the impression that we are. We have such good news to share. Has anybody not heard the tennis result from last night before I give a spoiler alert? Does anybody mind if I tell them the result? Okay. You have not been able over the last 4 days, if you've listened to radio or TV, to get away from the name Emma Raducanu, have you? Why is that? Raducanu, okay, sorry. Why is that? Because it's good news, isn't it? The gospel is good news. Why are we not as full of the name of Jesus as we are as of Emma? That's an interesting question, isn't it? And Paul knows that there is a temptation to be ashamed of the gospel and gospel ministries. How often do you find it challenging to speak of Jesus? In this passage, Paul tells us that there are three things which cause us to be ashamed, cause us to fear to speak of Jesus. The first one is in verse 8, and we will go quicker in a minute, I promise. Rather, join with me in suffering by the power of God. Standing up for the good news of Jesus isn't always easy. That's why in verse 12, Paul says, that is why I'm suffering as I am. He recognizes that as we stand for the good news of Jesus, sometimes that involves us in suffering. I mean, Paul is in prison. We know he is suffering. Peter is executed. Timothy has tough times. For most of us, it's not very attractive to be told, you've got to stand up for something that will cause you to suffer. Most of us go, no thanks very much. But Paul is very realistic. He recognizes that actually sometimes when we stand up for the truth of Jesus, we suffer. Now, we're in a very privileged place that the suffering we receive is minuscule, really. But imagine being a Christian in Afghanistan at the moment. I was talking to somebody who said they were talking to one of their Christian Afghan friends in Afghanistan as they heard the gunshots come nearer and nearer and nearer. That's a challenging thing, isn't it? Now, none of us can know how to react in that circumstance. Of course we can't. And we are privileged that in standing up, the worst that will happen really is that we'll lose friends or be mocked. But one of the reasons why we don't speak of Jesus is because we're afraid of the consequences of that. But the second reason is the very simplicity of what we've got to say. Verse 8:9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The first time I preached on this, I did call it life and immorality, which was slightly unfortunate. But it's life and immortality. It's a very simple gospel, isn't it? He has saved us and called us to a holy life. That's the good news of the gospel. It's not complicated. Its very simplicity sometimes causes us struggle. The gospel is at heart very simple. God has saved us, called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The good news of Jesus is essentially simple. And the world often wants much more complicated sort of answers. And we have a very simple gospel. But if the gospel is, we sometimes don't want to talk of Jesus because of the suffering and the simplicity of all we have to say. Sometimes, too, it's because of the solitude it brings. Verse 15. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. Sometimes we can feel we're the only ones. When I was an accountant in a factory that made sausages and beef burgers and saveloys, as far as I know, among the 330 who worked there, I was the only Christian. At times it felt very lonely. You may be the only Christian in your family. That can feel very lonely. Among your neighbors, there may be no other Christians, or among your work colleagues, or among those you do activities with because you're retired and you have the opportunity to do that. You're the only one. And then it's hard to speak. Paul speaks of that solitude. Everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. That's what it feels like to him. He feels alone. Well, if we know, therefore, why we might not speak, we need some encouragements, don't we? So we will, and here they are. The first encouragement is, it is God's gospel. Verse 9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul wants us to be clear that this is God's gospel. You and I will only be wanting to talk about Jesus if we are sure that God is the one who has revealed this. This is God's work. And he is the one who saved us, called us. It was his purpose. It was out of grace. God does not want to baffle us. He wants to encourage us. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, was revealed to us by the work of the Spirit. And that's just such an amazing thing, isn't it? Do you know, I would not stand up here if I was not sure that that's the case. How could we? This week we had the privilege of doing two funerals of church members. And most of the folks who came, I don't think, are church members, Christians. And what a privilege just to be able to share the gospel. I remember one of my tutors when I was at theological college all those many years ago saying, whenever you do anything like a funeral or a baptism, make sure you teach the gospel in little bits. And we all asked him, why do you do that then, Gerald? And Gerald said, because if they're videoing it, they can't edit it out. It's brilliant. Confidence in the source of the gospel means we want to share it. It is God's gospel. So we do not need to be ashamed of it. We have good news to share. I pray that Christ Church St. Andrews is a church family where people hear the gospel again and again. That we never get bored of it, for it is good news. But if it is God's gospel, that's the source, it is also sufficient for all we need. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. But it has now been revealed, verse 10, through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel brings salvation. It brings the call to a holy life. It means the end of death. It means life and immortality. Do you know the English language has more euphemism for death than any other language in the world? Why? Because we're petrified of death. I am so often told by people, oh, they've passed over. And I want to ask, where have they passed over to? In funerals, we try to encourage people to come face to face with the fact that death is a reality. But that in Jesus, life is a possibility. The gospel is sufficient. It meets our greatest need. And therefore, we don't need to be ashamed of it. Will you and I, will we as a church family have that confidence that the gospel meets the deepest need that people have? Of life and immortality. The gospel is God's gospel, that's its source. It is sufficient. And finally, is successful. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, verse 12, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have trusted to him until that day. Paul's confidence is in the success of the gospel, that God will guard what he's entrusted to him. Now, that might be the gospel or it might be those who have come to faith. I think it's probably both and. Paul knows that because it's God's gospel, he will maintain it. And when we live in a world where even the church is beginning to lose its confidence in the gospel, you and I here can stand and be different and say, no, we have that confidence. Why? Because we see lives being transformed. I've seen that so often in our church family. God has done amazing things. One of the guys I did the funeral for this week had many challenges. But throughout all those challenges, God had hold of him and had transformed him. I remember having a conversation with a guy. We'd only met for an hour and had a coffee. And at the end of the hour, he said, we just talked about Jesus dying in his place. Said, can I become a Christian now? I wish it happened like that every time. It doesn't. He hadn't even done Christianity Explained. I mean, how was he ready? But there we go. He was. And his life transformed from that day. When we see the church lose confidence in the gospel, when we see a generation in danger of abandoning the gospel, our confidence is in God and his work. That's why verse 14 says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We are not in this work alone. The Spirit is at work so that we never need to be ashamed of Jesus, of speaking of him. God is still in the business of transforming lives. I hope you've experienced that in your own life. Some of us may look back to many years ago when that first transformation happened. Some of us may not know the day that it did. Some of us, it may have been in the very recent few weeks or months. But know this. The good news of Jesus transforms lives and continues to do so. So we must guard the gospel. We must resist the temptation to trim it, to eliminate those details which give offense and cause opposition, to mute the notes that jar with our current culture. We must continue to guard the fact that the gospel says Jesus is the only way to the Father, however unpopular that is. We must continue to guard that there are two destinations and only two when we die, heaven. We must guard the fact that people cannot get there by being nice. They need to believe in Jesus to go to heaven. We have to guard the fact that there as a behavior, which means that greed is not okay, which means that we do not gossip, which means that we make sure that we stand for the consequences of the gospel. So for Christians, sex outside marriage, whatever form it takes, is wrong. Marriage is between male and female. Those are the consequences of the gospel that we guard. Not ashamed. Why do we do that? Because it's God's gospel. And we want to offer the hope of life that he brings. this week, this month, this year, where we as individuals and as a church family guard the good deposit that was entrusted to us. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Let's pray together. Father, we have good news to share, and so often we're slightly scared to do that, worried how people will react. Father, as individuals and as a church family, help us to resist the temptation to be ashamed of the good news of the gospel, that you saved us and called us to a holy life. We pray that more and more folks will hear the gospel and respond in faith and trust. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing of that amazing gospel in the hymn, In Christ Alone. Please stand as we sing.